With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Guys and a girl are stranded on a desert island. Three guys and a girl stranded on a desert island. After 1 week, the girl is so ashamed of what she's doing, she kills herself. After another week, they're so ashamed of what they're doing, they bury her. Hey, after another week, they're so ashamed of what they're doing, they dig her up again.
Oh, Jackie. Oh, no.
Hey, man, welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast, dude.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast. Here every week on every podcast station, The Joke with Jackie, the Joke Man Marling. Thank you, I guess. And you can see his documentary on jokeman.com. Thank you, Jackie. And we got to thank our good buddy Tommy Chong. And our regular guest, we got Craig Mitchell.
Hello, everybody.
Cooking show.
Hello.
And we got Mike Grief, came back from Florida.
Where I was digging that chick back up that Jackie was talking about. What are you kidding? Hey, I got my bongos. I got my bongos.
You guys travel more than anybody I know. I haven't left this living room in 6 years, and you've been to Florida 19 times in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's because you're not really in a living room. You're in a jail cell, okay?
Well, you know, it's, I flourish in jail, as you know.
And my name is John Ferentino, of your interest.
John Ferentino, the magic John, man. You know, if you open up John's shirt, he's right on his chest, he's got it tattooed. Spooky stuff inside.
Is it really?
Spooky stuff inside.
Danger.
Doesn't look like he has a tat.
No, I'm not a tat guy. I remember once I had, I came back from a cruise ship and I had two little like feet, like maybe an inch. Like two little surfer feet tattooed on my ankle.
Right.
And my daughter was like 5 and she got so upset. She scrubbed it off with a washcloth until when I kept telling her it was real until it was almost raw.
So wait, you say you're not a tat guy, but what's wrong with tats, man? Like, well,
I got my
problem with tats, but I'll tell you that in later.
I'll tell you what the problems are. Tattoos used to mean something.
Yes.
Now it's like everyone in the world has a tattoo. It's almost cooler if you don't have a tattoo.
You know what the truth is? It's like, yeah, when I was young, when I got my first tattoos, the only people that had them were like sailors, criminals, and bikers. You know, now it's like, you know, your grandmother's got a tattoo on her boob. You know what I mean? I'm like, geez.
Grandmother has a tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp. You know, it really is. It's like, and everyone is like, oh, well, it's I'm expressing myself. Well, my tattoos actually express. They express that I was really fucking drunk.
My son, Gen X, man, he's 31. His leg is starting to become like a mural.
He's Gen Z.
That's the way it is today. There's no.
Well, he's got, you know, he goes, these are all stuff that mean things. He goes, I have an eagle for honor of your dad, my grandfather, because my dad always had these gold eagles. He goes, I got a space shuttle because that's what I grew up with. He goes, I got the Islander and fisherman's jersey. I got Jets tattoo.
John, maybe you should have taken him aside a couple of years ago and had the talk with him. I mean,
I did.
The talk.
I did, but he loves them, you know.
The only guy I knew years ago who had a tattoo that wasn't a biker or a sailor or a criminal was this guy. Was so dumb. I think he had his tattoo named on it, his name tattooed on his arm, so if he forgot who he was, he could look.
John, I know this guy. I've never met him in person, but he's a former police officer. And I mean, this guy was gorgeous. I'm sorry. I'm not saying gay, but just a beautiful looking guy. And he would show off pictures of himself. You know, he looked fantastic. And now that he's retired, he has tattoos up to his chin. Mm-hmm. I mean, his whole body is just a tattoo. And I'm like, that's cool if you're into it, but man, your body was beautiful before that. Why did you do that?
How about the people that tattoo the white of their eyes black?
Oh, see, now you're just a freak. Oh, now you're a freak.
That's kind of gross.
You know what I mean? I mean,
and then they can't go outside.
It's bad enough to get a tattoo on your face, and then people get them on their head. Like, I knew a guy years ago, he had a tattoo of a snake on his head. But you know what? He was a wrestler. He was actually a professional wrestler.
Mike, and I heard that getting a tattoo on your head is the most painful place that you can get a tattoo.
Well, not if there's no brain inside.
It's the needle bounces off your skull.
The needle bounces off your skull.
There's no flesh there.
As my father used to say to me, you know, no brain, no feelings, you know.
How about Charles Manson carving a tattoo of a swastika into his forehead before he went to court?
That's not really a tattoo, though.
Yeah, it was
Yes, it was.
And he rubbed ink in it.
Those are prison. Actually, in prison, what they'll do is they'll take cigarette ashes, mix it with water. They make ink out of all kind of shit. They're very inventive, you know, do what they got to do. But still, I just don't understand how it went from being this outlaw thing. I'm sure that, like, old-time outlaws, like myself, are a little pissy about fucking having our identity stolen by guys who are just like, oh, it's expressing my personality.
But with Charles Manson, at least there was a reason why he did that.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when the judge asked him why he had that tattoo on his head,
right,
he said, because I hope you don't parole me, because if I get out, I'm going to kill you and your whole family.
Holy shit.
There you go. And you know what? And the truth is that Manson had, there was a method behind his madness. He was institutionalized. He functioned better in prison than he did outside of prison. So he never wanted to get out. It wasn't like he didn't. That's why he acted so crazy when he was in.
I can't think of anything that I'd want permanently. Like, I mean, something, you'd have to love something. I'd have to love something a lot to have it tattooed on my body. And I'm thinking
Kirk's ass on your
own. Star Trek, no. You know what it would be? It would probably be French fries. That'd be the only thing I could
do. There you go. But then you'd constantly be biting yourself.
I know. I'd lose an arm.
Craig would get drunk and start eating his fingers.
Have your arm.
I get hungry.
Oh, man.
No, I don't get it. I don't get tattoos.
So John is... Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's a permanent decision. I just don't understand how.
Yeah. So John was mentioning I was just in Florida and fucking I tell you the truth, people make fun of Florida. Yes, Florida people, I don't know, but the beaches in Florida, there's nothing better. The beaches are gorgeous.
And the water's warm.
The water's warm, you know. I love hanging out on the beach and just hanging in the sun, man.
Hanging out in the trough.
The trough. Yeah, fucking John had to scare the shit out of me. It's like it took me 30 years to get over Jaws and finally get into the water. I get in the water. Me and John are like up to our chest in the water. And he's got to tell me, you know, just beyond this point, there's a trough.
No,
and
that's
the only thing separating the sharks from us.
We had gone through the trough.
That's when he tells me the trough is what stops the sharks from going in there. And I'm like, well, John, we're on the other side of it.
When you are in the ocean, it's like you walk in and there's a deep part and then it gets shallow.
Yeah. These are things I didn't need to know.
That deep part is called the trough, and that's where the sharks patrol.
Right.
But you're better off being out a little bit deeper than in that little deep trough part.
See, that's why I hang out with sea turtles. Sea turtles.
Fish get trapped in there and the sharks go in there to eat.
Sea turtles can bite you. They're nasty.
Sea turtles never bite. When's the last time you heard of somebody getting killed by a sea turtle? Sea turtle stabs man. Filmed at 11, you know.
Yeah, it might bite your junk off or something, though.
Sea turtles aren't interested in
you. Oh, and only if you're fishing with it.
Yeah, look, you got some bait on it.
I catch so much.
I can't understand why he bit me. I put a little fish on the end of my.
I catch a lot of gay turtles that way.
Yes. There's a when I went in Florida in August. If you walk along the beach with a flashlight with a red lens cover on it,
right?
Because you can't have open light. What? You see these sea turtles come out of the water, right. Like the size of. Like a coffee table.
Oh,
and it takes them forever, man. They walk up the beach, and it looks like almost like a trailer
John,
track.
They have no legs.
And they have legs.
They got no legs. They got flippers, man.
No, they got legs.
You try flippering along the beach.
They go up, but they go all the way up to the sand dune, and then they turn around, which takes forever. They dig a hole.
They lay eggs, right?
And they just lay like 200 eggs.
I can see John standing there, like all impatient, going, "Come on, it's taking them forever."
It's so frustrating. It's like you feel like you want to help them turn around because they're exhausted. And then after they lay 200 eggs, they kind of get a little motivated to go back.
Right.
It takes them, again, half hour to get back to the water.
They got
to
be a lot lighter going back.
And when they get back to the water, they hit that water.
They drown.
They take off like you cannot believe.
Let's back up, though. Why can't you have an open flashlight? Why do you have to have a red flashlight?
Because they go believe it or not, turtles go to the same beach every year to spawn, to drop their eggs.
That makes sense.
And if you have a flashlight, they get spooked, and they gotta lay the eggs on that day.
Actually, it's because they're all seeing. They all have like those black screen things we used to use a flashlight and see the colors. You know what was the black light?
Oh yeah.
So what it is? They're afraid is that there's about a 4 week period where even if you have a house on the beach, you're not allowed to have any of your outside lights on that shine on the beach.
I guess when you buy the house, you understand that, and that's the agreement you make, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's an amazing thing to see. It really is. It's amazing.
Humans do a lot for animals. Think about it.
No, we don't do shit for them.
I was at the beach one morning surfing.
They're there before us.
I was at the beach one morning surfing when I would say a couple of hundred of those eggs hatched.
Right.
And these turtles all started running for the water, and the seagulls were just swooping them up. You know?
I was going
to
say
we had to grab them and put them in the water and grab them. Once they get in the water, they're okay.
It's sad, and I couldn't watch it, but that's natural selection. Only a certain amount of them ever, even the ones that make the water, there's only a small amount that are going to survive to be adults and come back. Imagine if it took humans that much to friggin' mate, we'd never get laid.
Yeah. Yeah, plus like you have some ex swooping you up.
But see, that's sea turtles are my magic animal. It's the thing that I've always been attracted. I mean, look, I'm a Pisces, so I always attracted to the ocean. Magic and the sea animal. Turtle, I always looked at it as good luck. When I'm in the ocean, they protect me because they keep the sharks off you. The shark will attack the turtle probably before me, so he keeps the shark away from me.
That's why dolphins attack the turtle. Dolphins attack the sharks.
No, they just they're robbing them. They just don't like them.
No, they do. They attack them. They push them backwards.
But why?
And then they drown.
Why do they attack them?
They just don't like them.
Just don't like them. He owes me money, son of me.
I wish you could see Mike's picture right now. He's got a turtle behind him, but you can't see the turtle. All you see is the legs, and he looks like Goofy.
He has the horns.
I read this story about this woman. That's what I was reading before we went on. That had twins.
Right.
And she came home, and she was about a week later. She had more pains in her stomach. And it got to the point where she kept telling, "Oh, I got pains in my stomach." I'm like, "Oh, it's just because you had twins and blah, blah, blah." And it went on for like a couple of weeks. And then finally she said to the husband, "You got to take me to the emergency room." She went into the emergency room and she passed out. And they did an ultrasound and she had another baby in there.
That's what I was going to guess that, but I didn't want to ruin your punchline. I was thinking there's another set of twins or another kid in there. Was it alive?
Yeah.
And so they delivered another, so there was triplets.
But how do you miss a baby?
You know, listen, you're busy. You got two other ones, you know.
You know, that's a little malpractice.
Twins and triplets
I don't know how you miss a baby.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing an ultrasound when the baby's born. Wouldn't you see a third one in there?
Hiding behind the other two, you know?
Doctor would go, "Hey, there's something else up there, but it's probably nothing."
I was hiding in the dark corner of the uterus over here.
Yeah, two's enough.
That's better than some friggin' animals. You know, there's certain sharks. They're in the stomach. They're alive. They start eating their brothers and sisters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Swimming around in the friggin' uterus or whatever it is in a shark. And to start eating the other ones. That's you know, helps with survival. That's, you know.
I tell you my favorite Stephen Wright joke. He goes, before I was born, I used to sneak out every night.
Yeah.
I learned to steal things. I figured it was a good opportunity since I had no fingerprints.
There you go.
And then he goes, but then I was born cesarean. So every time I leave the house, I go out through the window. And then didn't he do a joke years ago? He goes, I kept a diary since the day I was born. Day one, slept all day, tired from the move.
Yeah.
Tired.
No, that's like Jay. Remember Jay, my favorite Jay London had a great line. He said, he goes, Adam and Eve, I never liked them since day one.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can you imagine that though? Like, all right, well, you got twins. We'll deal with it. Oh, there's a third one. Kind of crazy.
Imagine that. Imagine that third. The third. I was going to say the third twin. Imagine that triplets in there going, "Hey, where'd everybody go?" Like, it's a lot more room in here now. You know what's pretty happy.
You know what's really weird about it though. So you got three kids. They're triplets. They're probably, were they identical or were they whatever? But they have different birthdays.
I didn't have time to read the next 60 pages.
They're fraternal.
But even if they're fraternal, but they're all triplets and they have different birthdays now. That's a weird thing.
That's true. And you know that the triplet is always going to be late for everything. You know that's going to happen. Where the frig is Denny? He's always frigging late.
He's always late. He's stuck somewhere behind a, you know, anyway.
He's always 6 days late.
Crazy. Yeah, it's you know, it's funny when doctors miss stuff. When I worked in the hospital, I remember once they were doing a hip surgery on a guy, and hip surgery. And back in those days, it wasn't like it is today. You know, they would go in through the side of your hip, so they'd have to cut through all sorts of muscle.
They go in through your wallet.
They go, no.
Just like dentists.
And the hospital I worked in was a teaching hospital, so it was whole residents doing this. So a typical hip surgery could take 6 hours. And I remember once they had this guy, he was pretty beefy. I mean, he was like 400 pounds. And I got called up, and they said, we need an X-ray of the area because we've lost a mallet.
What? Well,
like a metal mallet, like the size of, you know, like a mallet that you would see with a big rubber head on it.
Yeah, like tink, tink, tink.
Yeah, that size made out of stainless steel.
Do me a favor while you're looking. Check and see if my watch is dead.
I know. I mean, a watch would have been nothing.
You know? Oh, that's crazy.
Where's my power saw?
That's insane. Oh, I'm glad they're students.
Fucking mallet. They found guess what? When I got up there, they found
guess
it.
What? Guess what, Mr. Resident Student? You failed.
It was on the floor, and it was covered with like one of those surgical sponges.
I thought it was going to be Dr. Maxwell's silver hammer. That's what I thought.
I mean, it's crazy. This
the guy woke up going, yeah, man. Jeez, wow, that's insane. That's crazy.
Well, you know,
I got hammered last night.
Stop clicking the thing.
I'm sorry. Every gauze pad that they have has a strip in it that will show up on an X-ray.
Right.
Because when they're stopping bleeding, when they're in incision, and they're putting those sponges in,
right,
they just look like they become part of the person.
Yes. Yeah, when they're all bloody and everything, yeah.
That's cheery.
Well, yes. It's a fact. I mean, it's a fact.
I know.
Listen, surgery
is... So listen to this. Okay, I went to... So I'm working in the Bronx, right? And And I had never, you know, I trained in this Catholic school, you know, like Our Lady of Mercy school.
Catholic schoolgirls
where the nuns clean the floor, and it was immaculate. So I get a job in the Bronx, right, in this hospital. And the hospital is so big that in the holding area, in the emergency room, there's 80 beds, right? And three full-time X-ray rooms. So we get a call that there's a shooting, right? And the deal
was... Wait, John, a shooting in the Bronx?
Yeah.
Never happened.
I don't get it.
So in the projects, this guy, somebody tried to break into his house. And I guess he called the super or whatever, and they said, well, we can't put a new lock and fix your door until Monday. This was on a Friday. So he said, all right, don't worry about it. So he sat on his couch with his 357 Magnum, and there was a cop in the building who was, you know, plainclothes cop with long hair, you know, looking for drugs and stuff.
Serpico.
So they told him, well, as long as you're in there, you know, kind of buzz by and, you know, make sure the guy's okay. So he goes by and he sees at the same time the guy gets up to go to the bathroom. And he looks through the busted up door and he sees a guy walk by carrying a 357 Magnum. So he kicks down the door and says, police. And but he's dressed as plain clothes. So the guy turns around. I'm sorry, the guy, he had a 38. The cop had this big, crazy gun. So the cop shot the guy in the head and in the chest. And the guy shot the cop five times in the abdomen. And we get the cop. The other guy's dead.
Right.
So I got to go to the OR. Now, meanwhile, I've already been to school. I've already passed all my anatomy tests. I've already thing. We get into the hospital. Into the thing, and they and I hear the surgeon say to the anesthesiologist, I can't wait any longer. I gotta start. And he goes, well, he's not fully under yet. And he goes, it doesn't matter. I need to start.
Right.
With that, takes a scalpel and cuts him from the sternum down to his belly button, like cutting open a water balloon. And you hear this the cop go, ah, and then just fall asleep.
Right.
So now, I'd seen anatomy charts and stuff, and I always see the intestines, and then you just think of they look like one thing altogether.
Right.
Well, I didn't realize it's like a bunch of hose shoved in a pocket. So they're taking the hose, and they're stripping it out like they're going through a hose.
No, there you go.
They're tying off sections of it.
Enjoy your lunch, people. Enjoy your lunch.
And they're going to me, x-ray this, x-ray that. X-ray
this. And it's still inside a living guy, and x-ray this.
No, no, it's out of the guy next to him.
But he's alive.
Yeah, he's under anesthesia.
Wait, wait, but were they still connected? They didn't cut them out and say x-ray them. No,
they were still connected.
They're still connected.
They were looking for bullets.
So you're like looking at it going, oh, nope, that's a ham sandwich.
Yeah, I'm looking at it going.
Oh, yeah, chili. No, not chili.
So anyway, the story is the guy got shot five times in the abdomen,
right?
And he lived. He freaking lived.
But yeah. did you find the bullet? Are you the hero who found the bullet?
Yeah, I found a couple of them.
There you go.
But still, yeah. So it's like it's very funny because when you see detective shows or any type of show. The guy gets shot in the arm and he dies. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, but nobody dies. If you get shot,
no, they do. You get shot in the wrong place.
You get shot in the head.
You can get shot in the leg. If you hit that big vein, you're gonna die.
Yeah, you get shot in the foot, you can die.
If it hits that vein, you can die.
Like it's not like in the movies where it happens immediately.
Yeah, it's not like
you gotta bleed out, which takes a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's really weird.
That's why I don't
believe
in shooting.
If you shoot somebody, you can walk around for like 3 or 4 minutes.
That's why I don't believe in shooting, man. You want to get somebody baseball bat. It's so much more fun, and it's more act because you're not going to stop till you know the job's done. You don't have to shoot a guy. There's no reason to own a gun.
I got to tell you, this is reminding me of a movie I saw last night, and I have to recommend it because I did it as a lot.
What's that? Catholic high school boys in trouble? No,
oh, you saw it too. No, it was one of the most enjoyable friggin' movies I've seen in a long time.
Right,
and it's the remake of Roadhouse. It was.
I heard about it. I haven't seen it. Come on, man! How good can it be? They replacing Patrick Swayze. Who's playing Patrick Swayze?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
There you go. I don't like it already.
Dude, he's freaking and Conor McGregor
Conor McGregor. Okay.
It's fucking great.
Pass.
Dude, it's great.
I got a buddy of mine who was in the original Roadhouse, one of the bouncers, the heavy guy. The fat guy, he's you know, so I've seen it a few times. And
there's nothing against the original Roadhouse. This was just much fun.
Nothing against the original, but I mean, it's like,
really well done.
Okay, I got one more hospital story to tell you.
My story carried that much weight.
Cheer, a guy comes in with an ice pick to his asshole.
This is really kind
speaking of funny. Roadhouse. This guy,
when you work in a hospital, right?
Yeah,
they used to, in order to certify. For the insurance, you have to have a thing called a triage drill.
Right.
And a triage drill is like if there's a factory that explodes or, you know, a big, like, big thing. Right. So what you do is in those cases, you treat the seriously injured last.
Right. John, we've all seen MASH.
Okay. So anyway, so in every hospital that you do, right, they have a triage kit where they have, like, fake intestines and like a heart, and it's always like the nurses that you know or on a stretcher, you know, and you're going, oh, does this hurt? And you touch it, you're touching the fake intestine,
right?
And everybody's kind of like, it's really kind of tongue in cheek, but you know, you do it and you're tagging and bagging and doing all this stuff, right? So, when I worked in the hospital in the Bronx, one day we had three back to back real triages, we had two buses that hit each other. We just got done with that. Then we had a factory that exploded. And then we had a gang war, right? And then the gang war, right? Thank God I left. And the gang war, they took the leader of the gang up to the operating room because he had been shot four times.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have the two gangs, like, in the hospital together, right? They're all listening and all this stuff. So somebody says, yeah, they just brought the leader of the gang up to the OR. So these two guys get up from their wheelchairs, get into the elevator, and go to the OR, and there's a gunfight in the OR.
There you go.
Him trying to finish this guy off on the
showdown at the OK Corral, man. I love it. I love it. That's dedication.
Yeah, the cops are all armed because they're all like ex-Green Berets.
Right.
And there was like an actual like gunfight that lasted 5 or 6 minutes in the
elevator. I'm sorry, but I blame the cops. Who didn't frisk these guys to make sure they didn't have weapons?
See, if this is a movie, the cops would aim for the oxygen tank and it would explode and it would take out the bad guys.
Like Jaws.
But I heard they had guys come in with chains wrapped around their heads and stabs and, you know.
You know what's funny, though? See, you worked in a hospital. I learned everything I know medical from MASH, and that's the truth. I learned how to do it. I could do a tracheotomy on you right now, and I learned it on MASH.
Just give me a straw.
The problem with this whole gang war thing was they wouldn't stop dancing.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. That's a Craig joke.
You're a jet. We're a jet all the way.
That's a pun.
That's a true story, though. I mean, not the fact that they were dancing, but it's a true story.
It's
crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
How long ago was that? Like 30 years ago? 35?
It was 1973.
I don't want to say that.
I don't even want to talk about hospitals. You know, I just spent 10 days in a friggin' hospital and in a rehab. You know, mom fell out. She's in the rehab. Thank God she's doing good. I talked to her today. She was in good spirit. She wasn't in pain. She's doing her physical therapy. So I guess I'm going to have to go down and knock her down again. But.
Oh, my God.
My good news this weekend is that Chris's brother got transferred to a nursing home on Merritt Island.
That's great because I know that, and so it's way closer to visit and everything. And I know that's
three and
really
a half
good
hours
news.
Away. It was 3.5 hours.
But now
away.
He's close. That's really good news. I'm really excited for you.
Oh, we had a Falcon 9 takeoff from Vandenberg Air Force Base out here. Did you see it, Mike?
Where is Vandenberg?
It's somewhere out here.
I just got home yesterday, so no, I didn't see anything. I just got home yesterday.
It was insane. It looked like you saw it going through the western sky. It was
John sees them. John sees them every other day. I've been to John's house. You look in his backyard.
My dog hates them. My dog freaking hates them. She shakes like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like you can't console her, and she shakes before.
Well,
she's hearing frequencies that you can't hear. You got to remember that, you know.
Speaking of frequencies you can't hear, remember I told you I have the greatest dog in the world till she sees another dog and then she goes psycho?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I saw a TV show about a dog whistle.
Right.
And I bought the dog whistle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a frequency that humans can't hear.
Mm-hmm. And which is just intelligence. It's just intelligence coming out of a whistle. Humans can't hear it.
So you would be any woman talking.
So you just grab this whistle and you just give it like a quick, and she just stops. And then I give her a treat and I go, and she stops barking immediately.
John, after the show, send me the information because my dog is the same way. I want to get this thing.
So yeah, so I saw this show and the guy says what you have to do is when they start barking, they get into a frenzy and they won't stop barking.
Right.
When you pick up the dog whistle and you just give it a quick deet, like
it breaks their concentration.
You can't even hear it.
Yeah.
They look at you and you give them a treat and you go, good dog, no barking. And it's amazing. So I get the dog whistle. I take her out. We don't run into any dogs. So the next day, I give her a ride in the car at a purpose time where we always see dogs. No dogs.
No dog.
Right? So today we were walking along and there's this little guy with this little dog and she goes mental when she sees it. And I can see you're getting ready.
Right.
Gave her a treat, turned around. We walked right away from the dog to the car. And then we saw four dogs on the way home with people walking them. One I covered her eyes so she couldn't see it. That worked.
How do you do that? You walk bent over covering her eyes?
No. She's in the car. She's in the car.
Oh, okay.
I lay down and I cover her eyes. And I covered her eyes so she didn't see him. That worked. And then I did the thing. And now it's like when I just pick up the whistle.
She knows.
It's like, yeah, oh, please.
John, don't. You got to send me that information.
I bought them right on Amazon. 2 for like $8.
Good. Just tell me the name of it so I can buy it.
I'll send you the link.
In a related story, my friend Tony, you see, my cat will get rambunctious. He'll start tearing up furniture or he'll bite me too hard.
Got to stop trying to bang it.
It's my cat. It's my rules. But, you know, I have a water pistol that I would actually squirt at the cat when he gets too rambunctious. But he goes, no, just do this. And you just go like that, real hard at the cat. And it stops. It just looks at you like, oh, okay. For some reason, it just breaks his concentration and he gets him out of that mode and it just changes his demeanor. It's
just figures you're mental or something.
I used to have a spray bottle and that used to work. And then another guy told me you'd buy a clicker.
That didn't do it. We had dude trained, we went for professional training and they used the clicker thing and whatever. Anyway, by the way,
We went to this guy, and this is how he says, when the dog goes crazy, I swear to God, frenzy. This guy is like, he goes,
grab his nuts.
No, you stand there and you
he's
go,
in a frenzy.
Now listen, you stand there and you go, whoa!
I swear
to God.
Okay.
I swear to God. It's like verbal training. So my daughter had taken the dog to it, and she was in a restaurant, and he started doing that, and she stood up. It did that. And people started paying their checks and leaving.
No kidding.
They thought she was nuts.
So here's a public service announcement. And this talking about dogs. I just found this out. People always think, you know, pit bulls, when they attack, there's all these theories of how to get them to release. And I've heard the most stupidest things. But what you're actually supposed to do is grab their back, pull their back legs up. They'll let go of whatever they're chomping on.
Really?
But what if they've bitten off your arms? What do you do then?
Well, then you have
then
somebody
you're in
else
a
do it.
Joke.
Yeah, then you're in a, then you're in a Martling joke. Oh, so that's anyway,
then
Florida is a great place. I came back. I don't know if you can see it in my face, but I lost 10 pounds while I was in Florida.
It's the parasites.
Nope, no parasites. We were doing a low carb diet. And me and my brother lost 9.5 pounds. He lost 8 pounds in 10 days, just doing low carb in Florida.
Lots of fish.
No, actually meat. We were eating ribs and chili. We were eating burgers, just no buns and things like vegetables, you know, no buns, no bread, no rice, no potatoes, none of that stuff, man. I was amazed because I've been trying to lose weight, but I haven't lost that much that quickly in a long, long time.
See, and if you have parasites, you can eat anything you want. But
yes, you can. But then you know, that's it. But sooner or later, they take over.
Yes, and they become Republicans. Thank you. I'm here all week.
No, Republicans are born parasites.
Oh, okay, thank you.
One of the things I just read is that Trumpy just lost 30% of his votes in Florida.
And how do you know that?
No, they just, because they had the...
they took a poll, and you know how painful that is.
No, they had a Republican... No, they just had the Republican primary here.
That, and also I heard there was a... Not that I believe in polls. I think polls are bullshit. I think they take polls to scare people. But I just heard one in Ohio that said he was down a lot of points, and Ohio is a pretty conservative state.
I think I know why, and follow me on this. I think, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think Trump might be doing some illegal stuff, maybe.
No, you know what, Craig? Unless you got stuff to back that up.
You mean documentation?
You find him with classified documents in his bathroom, I don't want to hear it, okay?
He might be doing something that's a little bit crooked, maybe. Mm, yeah. Just a little, maybe.
Don't know, man.
I don't know.
That's insane.
I love the fact that, you know, he talks about it, claims how rich and this, and I'm really rich, and yet he's begging for money to fucking pay his bills.
He can't bond the money.
He's asking his supporters to pay for it.
They will, because they're fucking idiots. You think you guys can
lend me like $465 million? I mean, you know, just until Tuesday, I'll gladly pay until you Tuesday. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for $465 million.
You put a derby on him. He is wimpy, isn't he? Just put a derby on him.
I just found you two dog whistles for $4 on Amazon Prime. I just sent it to you.
Wow. There you go. Look at that.
Gee, John, can you find me a boyfriend? That was quick, man.
But you know, it's so funny, even this phony Willis thing, now he's appealing that.
Phony Willis.
Yeah, that's what her name is.
Bonnie, your name is Fanny.
It's not Fanny.
Well, then it's Fonny, not phony.
Fonny.
Yeah, I'm phony Willis. How you doing? You want to play cards?
But he gets on the stage. He goes, I don't know who this is. I don't know who this woman is. I've never met her. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you think a jury's just going to give her hundreds of millions of dollars? Because
if Don Jr. was testifying against him, he'd go, you know, I don't really know him. I never met him.
In between sniffs. Yeah. I don't know how. I never did coke with him. Oh, that's it. Okay.
They had that guy on from Shark Tank, you know, the older guy.
Oh, Kevin O'Leary, that moron.
Yeah, talking about how it's the worst thing that they ever did was finding Trump that amount of money.
Yeah.
Because it'll say who would want to do business in New York.
He's so, on criminals. I'm sorry, New York is saying if you're a criminal, you don't do business here. But he, because you know why? He's probably doing the same thing Trump was doing, and he's just a criminal piece of shit, and he doesn't want Trump to be fine. Please, the only one who would stick up for Trump's another criminal.
Well, unfortunately, he appeals to criminals and to the rich. So that's his strength.
Hey, whatever. Listen, you know what? The truth is and I'm sure you guys agree with me. Years ago, you know, I envied Trump years ago when he was just a playboy when he was younger. Sure, when he was a playboy, he was a millionaire, and he seemed smart. You know, this is long before he ever thought about the presidency. I'm talking about when he was young.
I always thought he was foolish.
You'd see interviews with him, and he'd be flying in a helicopter, and you figured he's a smart, whatever. You figured, because you never really looked into it. But, you know, the worst thing he ever did was run for president, because he probably did have a great life before, and, you know, now he's under so much scrutiny for all his criminal activity. That's like John Gotti running for president. Why would you run for president when you got so many skeletons in your closet? It's just, you have to be a moron.
Got a skeleton buried at his golf club, too.
He's got a skeletons in his pocket. He's got so many skeletons.
It's funny because Howard Stern claims that, you know, he was friends with him at one time, and that he told Howard that he never really thought he'd win the presidency.
I don't think he was planning. I think he was trying to improve his brand. He was trying to like embellish his brand. And it was a joke. I don't think he ever expected to win. And then when he won, he was shocked.
People love the fact that he would say outrageous, he was saying everything people were thinking, and they thought that was great. Plus, he had a high Q rating from being on The Apprentice.
Right. You know? Yeah. How about
and the people hated Hillary. Period. People did not like Hillary.
Yeah.
But that just got me worried about this election, because a lot of people are not on Biden's side because he's 81.
Whatever. Listen, you know what? I got news for you. if they're not, they don't vote, if they vote for Trump, or
4 years younger,
if they vote for Trump or they don't vote for Biden and Trump wins, you fucking deserve what you get. I'll be okay. I'll be fine. If Trump becomes president again, the world can burn. I'll be okay. You know what? But if you get what you deserve. If you vote for Trump or you don't vote at all, like for Biden, you deserve what you get.
Well, speaking of Trump, and this is a little off the subject, but we can get back to Trump. But we were talking about Trump Jr. Okay, I was driving this week. I had three people from Argentina in my car. And I was driving them to a club in West Hollywood. And at one point, the guy goes, "Hey, you want the dump?" And I thought he said vape or something. I'm like, no. He goes, "Oh no, dude, you want a bump?" I go, "A bump?
Cocaine, man, cocaine."
He's in the front seat. He takes out a little bottle, puts on a spoon, and he does cocaine as we're driving the 710. And so? I'm thinking to myself, did I just commit? Am I part to a crime now? Am I an accessory to a crime with him doing cocaine in my car?
No, I don't believe you are. But you don't have the authority to go back, reach, and physically stop him from doing that.
But it just reminds me.
You could throw him out of your car. The most you could do is throw him out of your car. You don't have the authority to freaking to police him. That's not your job.
I mean, am I liable because I allowed it to happen? I mean,
you're liable because you didn't take a bump. What's wrong with you? The guy's fucking offering you a bump. You don't take it.
But see, that he reminded me of Donald Trump Jr., who's like always on. Well, I haven't seen him lately. But whenever he does these videos, he's always
Junior can't afford the kind of coke that your buddy in the car had.
He didn't use a lot. It was a little bit.
Yeah, you would if by some chance that guy were to get arrested.
Yeah.
Yes, they could try to seize your car in RICO Act.
But you'd have to prove that
they would have to prove
that you had knowledge and shit like that, because you didn't have knowledge. I mean, like, how could you know what he had on his person when he got in your car?
Like Rico Suave,
Act, man.
I have video of him doing it.
Well,
he did it with a dash cam. Dash cam on him.
But the thing is, still, even with that, he could say, "Hey, that was baby powder. I was trying to impress the driver."
But you know, I'm not saying cool. I'm also not saying shit. You know why?
Why?
$15 tip. So.
Wow. That's all it takes to buy you, you cheap fucking bastard. $15. I would do anything. $15. He would. That's all it takes to buy Craig is $15.
No, I'm not bought for $15. Plus,
were bought for $15. Come on, man. Tell the truth.
Of the nature of the gesture that touched my soul.
I guess I'm used to some, like I said, years ago when I drove a limousine, we used to get $50 tips all the time. I get $100. I got a $400 tip one time.
$400 tip?
$400 tip, man, from these two ladies. They were real estate agents. I took them to Temecula to a winery for a concert. So on the way in, the woman gives me $100 and she says, "Listen, if you want to come into the concert, go ahead. If not, it's up to you." So they come out, they have some wine. Cases of wine. I put them in the trunk, take the first woman home. She gives me another $100. That's $200 tip because I carry it to her door. Take the second lady home, take her wine inside. She gives me another $200.
Her door?
She gives me stand around the curb in the rain.
Stand around the curb. Why would I do that? I don't get it. What's the
reason? I did that.
No, leave him enough. Shit, $400 tip. Well, do you know Drew Carey was famous for? He would always give $400 tips to the drivers.
I got to drive him.
So you had to fight. Well, you had to whoever was the dispatcher's favorite would give him that ride, or because everyone knew that was going to be a $400 tip.
The most famous person I had in my car was the MMA guy, the Iceman.
The Iceman. No, I drove. I was, but like I said, this limousine service was pretty cool. I drove a lot of people. I drove like what's his name? Jeff Goldblum. I drove.
Yes.
I drove a lot of celebrities.
You need to be in the limo, right? You could just transport to the next one. That was the fly.
He pulls out a 34-year-old reference. That was.
You want to hear the coolest? You want to hear the coolest ride? I mean, he wasn't the most famous guy, but it was the coolest. I drove, what's his name, from The Lord of the Rings, Aragorn. I can't think of his name.
But Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. I drove Viggo Mortensen. I had him for like 4 or 5 hours, whatever it was, running around, doing things. And then the last stop was the airport. And this was when one of the Lord of the Rings movies coming out. And we're pulling into LAX. and there's a plane with his face. You know, at that time, remember they were doing the planes? This plane had Viggo Mortensen's face. And I look at the plane, he looks, he goes, wow, that's embarrassing. I'm like, no, I go, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen, you know? And he was just the nicest guy. And it's like, you pull in and you got the guy, his whole face is on. That was pretty friggin' cool.
Yeah, on Trump, they're putting Trump's ass on his plane now.
I drove Vin Diesel. I drove, there's a lot. I drove a lot. We catered to a lot of, like, I remember I was embarrassed. I was acting at the time. I pick up this guy, and I'm not going to even say his name, but he's a producer. And I had worked on a couple of shows And I worked on a couple of shows he produced. So I'm like, I go, hey, how you doing? And he recognizes me. He goes, hey, Mike, how's it going? And I said, well, you know, it's going good. I'm, you know, do this between. He goes, listen, don't be embarrassed. He goes, we all do what we got to do before we get that big break, like the Big Bad Broadcast, you know, we all do. He goes, you know what? Send me your picture and resume again. And you know what? He got me on another show.
Steven Bosco?
No. You'd never guess. Some other shows, but no. Did I do for Stephen? I did NY.
NYPD Blue. You got called. Yes. Called an asshole. I did that for him. Andy Sipowicz, which is my favorite.
Yes,
my favorite character of all time, Andy Sipowicz. Yep.
And basically, it took all day to film that, or 2 days, whatever it was. That was pretty cool. I had a good time with that.
Yeah. Remember the first season of that show with who was it? The Irish guy with the reddish hair.
Oh, and I drove him too. I drove him too. I was his regular driver.
Who left for better things?
I was his regular driver, man. He was a cool guy. I drove him to the airport many times.
The movie Jade and Kiss of Death. I remember both movies that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And they both flopped. They both
nothing.
Flopped.
Nothing.
Yeah. Listen, we've all made bad career choices. That's why we're here on the Big Bad.
Then he spent 10 years on CSI Miami, so he did all right.
Yeah.
You guys know why Comic Strip Live went off the air? This is pretty cool.
No, why did it go off the air?
Okay, so Comic Strip Live, we were killing with numbers. I mean, we really were because, look, I mean, what happened was baby boomers were having babies and staying home. Mm-hmm. And they were going to the comedy shows on Saturday night, and they could still see their favorite comics from putting baby to bed. So Chevy Chase took over for Joan Rivers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was terrible.
John Mulrooney was the first host.
Right. But Chevy Chase insisted in his contract that once he took over, he wanted a Saturday night spot to do the best of Chevy Chase.
Oh, God.
And that was the deal.
That would kill anything.
He was so bad on the show, if you remember, that he lasted, I think, like 4 nights, and they got rid of him.
No, honestly, after John got off
than that, but
after John Mulrooney got off the show, I stopped watching it. And it's probably not because of anything else. Then I was just busy.
Well, they rebranded it as a Chevy Chase show, and it lasted, I think 6 weeks. Now, the one that lasted four nights was the Jerry Lewis show. They lasted 4 nights, and
so then they came back to Comic Strip Live, and they were like, hey, you know, you guys want you back. And then I guess Messina and them were all like, no, we're fine. We're done.
Wow. We're good, man. We're good.
It's just so stupid because
I got to see John perform the other a few days ago when I was in Florida, which was John. And I'm not even saying this just to kiss ass or none. You are always amazing. If anybody out there has John is the best.
Thanks, Mike.
I cannot watch comedians if I've seen their act before, generally, unless I haven't seen them in a long time. I could watch John every other day, and he's always entertaining. He's always great.
Oh, thanks.
And also, if you guys want a ride, I will drive you anywhere for $15. So just keep that in mind.
I told you, $15, this is Mark. He's for sale.
Yeah. What, is that your tip or your fare?
What?
Your fare or the tip?
Yeah. Well, really, if you want excellent service, it should be the tip should be on top.
You know what? I don't think I want excellent service from Craig. I don't know what that entails.
I get no complaints. I get no complaints. It's all I'm saying.
I don't even want normal service from Craig. Forget about excellent service.
I don't even want to read the reviews.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what service means.
I tell you, it's full service. It's full service. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I'll give you full service and that's it.
Oh my god.
I think I'd rather have full service from Edward Scissorhands. Anyway.
I almost was going. Tom Drake is getting his 25th year wedding anniversary.
Who is our guest next week? Tom Drake.
That's our guest next week.
BJ Odom.
And basically, yeah, Dottie wanted to get married in the church because when he got married 25 years ago, he had just gotten divorced, so they wouldn't marry him in the church.
Right.
And so he went through this whole annulment thing.
John, here's one question. Why does Dottie look so much younger than Tom?
Tom's got that Peter Bales look.
He kind of does, and Dottie's
Peter Bales look. What's that?
Uncool, frumpy.
Wow. I like Tom. I'm not saying anything
bad.
Like
Tom. Tom looks like an insurance man.
But Dottie's beautiful, and she looks like a lot. Yeah, and like I said, she looks a lot younger than Tom.
I love Tom Drake, and I don't. Yeah. And I say that. I mean, basically, that's his act. He posts himself as an attitude with a tie.
Yeah.
He dresses like an insurance guy.
Look, we had a good time, and he just was. Me and him were sitting together when you were on stage,
right.
And we were both laughing around. And how many times has Tom seen your act? But we were both cracking up, and just Tom was a little lit, I'll say that. But anyway, we were both cracking up.
They see every magic act in the world.
Yeah,
and I'm not really getting any work on cruise ships anymore. But in all fairness, I haven't really pursued it. But that's all they say every time they see me. They go, we see every comic magician in the world. The fact that they're not hiring you is like ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, you're not pursuing. How can they hire you if you're not pursuing?
Well, how could you do the podcast if you're on a ship?
Well, the other thing is, I mean, the woman who's in charge of Oceania is used to be a cruise director on NCL. And I was like her favorite act. She requests me all the time.
Right.
And when Dottie brought me up there, she goes, I kind of remember him.
Really? But honestly, John, would you want to do it? Would you want to be out away from home like that these days?
I don't think so. But it's like
it's one of the main reasons
really
I don't.
Good. The money's really good.
Listen, though, it's one of the main reasons I don't do much stand-up. It's like you got to go on the road. I just don't want to be away from home that long.
And another thing is you don't get a lot of traction here in Los Angeles because, honestly, they don't really invest a lot of time in 60-year-old comics. They want the 25-year-olds who have the big following. You know, like on Twitter and TikTok.
Now, if you have enough of a following, they'll follow. They'll take anyone's money.
But it's a lot more likely to be with somebody who's younger, though.
Well, because those are the ones that go viral on your Tiki to Taki.
Yeah, and
I used to make really good money at Governor's, like when I used to go there to headline.
Right.
And then finally one day the guy called me up and said, listen, I just want you to know why we haven't called you. And they go, because we do think you're a great act, and we know that you pack the place, which I do every time I'm at, especially now that I haven't been there in a while.
Right.
And they go, but this is what we used to pay you. And they used to give me like $250 towards my airfare.
Right.
And they said, but this is what we can afford to pay you now.
$3.40.
It was a quarter of what I used to make with no airfare.
Yeah. And why? Are they making less money?
No.
No. So why? Because they're just more greedy.
Dude,
yeah.
Price of living everywhere is sky high. And the money that we're getting
paid. Yeah, but to offer a quarter of what he used to make, I mean, it's not worth it.
Because they want more profit. Because they have other comics who come in there who work for that.
That's the problem. Is you got people wanting to sell themselves short.
And I said that to Rory when last time I talked to him. I got he goes, "You work Governor's?" And I go, "No." And he looked it up and said, "That's a tenth of what they used to pay you."
Yeah. So a tenth. So he was stealing the rest of it.
No. I mean, that's like, you know what I'm saying is during the heyday of comedy.
I know. I was working back then, and I remember guys. There were making these great amount, there's nice amounts of money, and bitching and moaning about it. And I'd be like, shut the, I'm making $800 for the weekend. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in all fairness, I mean, I remember going on the road for like hotel airfare and like $3,800.
Yeah.
For like the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I know. Like I said, I was in Hackensack at the Main Street, and I won't even say who I'm working
with. Well, I used to like that place.
But yeah, it was a great place. I'm working with a comic who I still don't like to this day, but I'm not even going to say his name. But anyway, it's a fucking asshole. Puts his head toward their bald mind. Anyway, you guys know who it is. I'm not saying. and he's terrible. I hate him anyway. I hate his act. I don't like him. But I think I was making $1,000 for the weekend, and he's bitching about making like $3,500. And I just looked at him and I said, why don't you just shut the fuck up?
That comic is always bitching.
He bitches about everything. And it's like, dude, you're not even a funny comic. You're just entertaining for a half an hour or 40 minutes. You know, you just get, it's like, shut. I just hate comics like that.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that we don't know who you're talking about in the audience. Like, yes. What the fuck?
That's
don't say it.
No, didn't I'm not. I'd be more than happy to punch his fucking face in. It's not the problem. No,
definitely don't say it now.
Didn't he become a booker?
No.
I haven't got a clue.
I don't think John knows who it is.
Probably not.
Say it though.
No, I won't.
After the show.
Anyway, what else is new and exciting? Craig, how's your teeth, man?
I heard you were having... Well, my teeth suck. Okay, bring the
join the club.
Ring the fucking bell. No, I gotta tell you, I have not been to the dentist in a long time. So my friend Joe is actually a dentist he used to go to in Long Island, and the dental offices now are just like used car salesmen, man. They go in there, they don't tell you what's wrong, they just tell you, you got $20,000-$30,000 worth of work, and you go, you think you're talking to a medical consultant, and it's a friggin' finance manager.
I know. I love that shit.
Such horse shit. And that's even with insurance.
First of all, dental insurance, I think we said this before, it's like having a coupon. It's bullshit. It's worthless. You save a couple of dollars. It's just bullshit. And I love all of these things, too. It's like, you know, you're right. I had the same thing. I had a problem with a tooth a couple of weeks ago. And you walk in and they take away the pain now. Concentrate on one thing. I just want the pain gone. But they're setting me up for like, you know, same thing, $10,000 worth of work. So I go in, they go, we're going to do this, this. I said, no, you're not. Yeah. You're going to take care of this tooth right now. Oh, but I said, listen, I don't want to hear the bullshit. Do what you got to do for right now. Don't fucking tell me that we got it. You know, but the rest of you, it's like, I'm not asking you about that. When I ask you about it, then you answer that question, okay? You understand that? Because I will get out of this chair and I will fucking stab people you never even met. You fucking cocksucker, you son of a bitch. Just, you know, so mad.
They tell me that I need a deep cleaning. I'm like, okay, all right. That, I mean, it makes sense. I haven't been here in a long time.
But that's an average.
Insurance won't cover a deep cleaning, just a regular cleaning. And I go, well, how much is a deep cleaning? They go, $440. I go, all right, we'll work that out. He goes, no, you got to pay now. What do you mean pay now? We need it all up front in advance.
Yeah. They charged me like $800 to fucking pull a tooth because the dentist, because they call that oral surgery.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, and I said, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. Just do it because you're in so much pain. They got you by the balls. What are you going to do? Get up and go, I'm going to find another.
Well, they got you by the balls, man. Like... They're in the wrong area.
Well, that's where they go into these days. They go into the balls, they reach up, they get the tooth.
Be careful. You know? John's very sensitive about the prostate. Don't go there.
There you go.
I have good news. My hip has been bothering me, and I went to the doctor this morning because I was scared shit, to be really honest.
Right.
And they x-rayed it, and I saw the doctor, and he said, nah, you probably just sat wrong or slept wrong. He goes, because your hip is no different than it was 2 years ago when you were here.
Yeah, which was the good hip or the bad hip?
The good hip. The good hip.
Yeah. The good hip. This one wasn't a TV show. The good hip.
The good hip. No, it's a good doctor.
The good doctor. No, the good place.
The good place.
That was pretty. Short.
See, I'm afraid to get those X-rays because you know my knees are shot. I'm afraid, you know, but I need the surgery, but I'm not getting it right now. But I'm afraid for them to check my hips out because you know it's like. Although I hear hip surgery is an easy recovery.
I'm sitting here Indian style, so I'm pretty sure that my hips are okay.
John, did you get a new hip?
Yes, I got a new hip. Yeah. And you want to know something? The whole procedure wasn't as bad as a root canal.
Well, there you go. No, I've heard that from other people.
I swear to God. First of all, when you get it, you're in so much pain. Listen.
Did they go in through the balls, though?
No, they go in the front of your hip.
Right.
So they don't really cut any muscle, which is amazing.
Right.
I went in there. I was in agony. I couldn't even walk. I had a cane and a walker.
We remember.
And I went in there, and at 10 o'clock, they did the surgery. I was back in my room at 12. They had me walk in at 1.
And he was dancing by 3.
The woman said, this is going to be, the first test, and it's going to burn a little bit when you first get up, but that's really from the stitches.
That's happened.
And I got up, and I go, I don't have any burning at all. And I took about 30 steps, and I went, oh, here comes the burn.
Here comes
the
burn.
And then you jumped over a building.
No, and then I went to sleep that night. They gave me something for the pain the first night. I got up the next morning. I went to physical therapy at 7:30. I was walking upstairs. I was in the car at 9 going home. Saturday and Sunday, I was home.
Yeah,
I had a little problem. They made me use a walker when I went to the bathroom. I went to regular physical therapy for 12 days. It was absolutely fine.
What'd they give you, like Percodan? Because that shit never worked for me. I needed something stronger, like Percofrank.
They gave me Percofrank.
I needed a more macho name.
They gave me Oxy, and it's like,
Oxy's fucking great.
I can't take it.
Greg just started drooling. Ooh,
oh, my Oxy. God, Oxy? Oh, man. Give me an Oxy. I'll drive you to fucking Peoria.
Did you snort them, John?
I have like 3 bottles of it in my medicine cabinet.
Oh, John, you're my best friend.
And I have over there it says, danger, do not take.
Never invite Craig over.
I have 10 years clean, but man, that's tempting. I think I'm due for a trip to Florida.
Some Oxy, man.
Mike, it's really hard to look at you with those things coming out of your head.
We're done, but I have to ask my question.
Yeah.
Mike, when they extracted you, or when you had the extraction.
My tooth, yeah.
All right.
It sounded like he was a spy.
Yeah. When they extracted you out of Biafra.
When they took you out of Vietnam, Mike, what happened? Oh, good.
Question I wanted to ask is when you got the extraction, right, did they knock you out or did they do it with you?
No, they did it with me awake, and she was the worst. You know how normally they drill or they saw, I think they had to saw the tooth, do something, but it kept bouncing. It kept bouncing off my tooth, like she wasn't holding it firm enough. She was the worst, and I know it's not supposed to be like that, but
did you hear cracking? Did you hear the cracking?
Yeah, it's the worst. I had one about
I was awake. They don't put you to sleep for that, Craig.
I didn't have it
sleep. Oh, no, they offered to me to put me to sleep. I said, do you want to be asleep for the extraction?
They never even offered that, but which I wouldn't do anyway.
It's so barbaric.
Just give me a freaking local. Yeah,
it's so barbaric.
What we got to do to knock Craig out? You want to knock Craig out? Just show him a vagina; he'll faint.
Yeah,
he can do all the work on him.
The whole process of having a tooth pulled is just barbaric.
Yeah.
When you hear that crunching and that cracking in your
head. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. It's when they go ta-da at the end.
You know what the worst part is? The worst part is when you start smelling smoke.
Yeah.
Smell Luke.
Bill Cosby.
Anyway, I think we're out of time, guys.
Smell Luke. All right, we're done.
Say goodbye, John Boy.
Wow. You sure? You want to start over?
Yeah, I'm sure.
According to the magic Craig, we're done.
You want to start over?
Let's start over.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening to the Big Bad Broadcast. I hope we enlightened your day, made your day a little bit better, and made each step into your future a little more positive.
It sounds like a Brady Bunch song, dude. What are you doing?
If you get a chance, kick a dentist in the nuts.
Yes, for me and John and Mike.
Farewell.
Wait. Don't dentists and flight controllers have the worst record of suicides?
Good.
Yeah, good. All right. I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that happy note.
All right.
We have BJ Odom and Tom Drake next week.
We'll see you on Spotify. We'll see you on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you on Podcast Playground. We'll see you wherever you get your
pods. And go to thejokeman.com to see the documentary about Jackie the Joke
Man. I think you have to post a picture of Mike with that thing coming out of his head.
Yeah, take a picture and put it on the thing.
It's too funny.
I just saved a picture of it.
Right. All right.
It looks like Mike Grief, Easter Bunny.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.